Can anyone tell me what today is? Yes, today is Passover. It began yesterday, actually, because the Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock in the evening, and they have their evening first, and then they have their days. As it is in Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. That's how they do their time. So at 6 o'clock last night, they began their Passover. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul alludes to Jesus as our Passover. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5. I don't know how many of you actually see a contradiction in the calendar there. In reality, in 3 days from now, we should be celebrating his resurrection. But calendar politics, if you were to research all of this and who got together and to decide what, in the 7th century, they decided it would be sometime in March, the Christian world, so to speak. But the Jews keep their calendar pretty vigorous and right on the mark, and today is the full moon, and today is the Passover. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 7, Paul is dealing with a sinful situation in the church at Corinth, and he says to them, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Now we're not going to get into the whole picture here of what's going on in Corinth. What we're going to understand is that Paul is telling them to remove leaven out of their house and that Christ is their Passover. He's using that analogy to say, remove the sin away from you. In order to observe the Passover, one of the things you had to do to prepare for that observance is you had to remove all the leaven from your house, completely tear the house apart, clean it from top to bottom, and get it all cleaned out so that you could observe this day of Passover. Now, leaven has become a symbol for sin, and so that's why Paul is using that here to speak to the church of Corinth. Remove the sin out of your presence, become unleavened, become sinless, because Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, this is the only place in the New Testament that really says that Christ is our Passover. But what is very interesting is when we go back through and study the Passover, we see exactly how Jesus fits that. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Let's read the statute for keeping the very first Passover, starting at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, wherefore they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall not let anything of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt, or the princes of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, or a holy gathering, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. A holy convocation and not doing work on that day makes it a special Sabbath day, just so you know. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that bread is leavened. Even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. Ye shall eat unleavened bread only. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood, that it is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts of the door, of the side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. Simply put, the Passover gave them an opportunity to be overlooked in this last plague, the death of the firstborn. They sacrificed a lamb, specifically chose it on the 10th day, prepared it on the 14th, and they actually eat it at the beginning of the 15th day, which would have been, of course, for today's calendar, would have been last night. They were to eat it fully clothed and ready to leave. They were getting ready to leave the land of Egypt, so they had to be ready to go. Had they not done this, then they would have suffered that plague. Each family would have had the firstborn perish. The very first thing that they had to do, besides cleaning their house full of leaven, was to choose the lamb. Let's see how Jesus fits this. Let's turn to John chapter 1. We have John the Baptist, who comes prior to the Anointed One, prior to the Messiah. He is making ready his path to declare him to the people. And he says these words concerning Jesus. John chapter 1, starting at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see this Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day after John stood, and the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. The John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. Jesus, however, also fits the bill for all the sacrifices. He is the Lamb. A sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the morning sacrifice, the sin offering. He covers all the sacrifices. A lot of the verses that we will go to actually point in that direction. Like I said, the only one that says that Jesus was the Passover so far is the one that we have in 1 Corinthians 5. But we're going to see here how these things fit. And I just went here just to identify for sure he is a lamb. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and start with verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Whereof in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And the reason that I came here is to show that Jesus was taken specifically from a certain flock, the flock of the house of Israel. God refers to his people as his flock, the sheep of his pasture. And what's important about this is that Jesus was a man, just like his brethren. Otherwise, his sacrifice, being a sacrifice, a lamb of the flock, if he wasn't one of those sheep, the sacrifice would not have been worth anything. That blood would not have meant anything, because a sacrifice means you have to give something up. And because he was made like unto his brethren, able to give up his life, that made it a sacrifice, a sheep of the flock of the house of Israel. Now let's turn over a couple of chapters to Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only were they to take a lamb of the flock of the sheep or goats, they were to take one that was without spot or blemish. And this pertains to Jesus. As a man, he was subject to the same temptations that we are subject to, but yet he was able to overcome them, and he is considered here to be without sin. He is without spot or blemish. So he fits the bill for the lamb of the Passover. The next thing is that they were to choose that lamb on a very specific day. They didn't choose it on the ninth day. They didn't choose it on the 12th day or the 14th. They chose it on the 10th day, specifically that day. And let's see what happens in relation to Jesus as he is traveling through the land prior to the Passover, the last Passover that he goes through. Let's turn to John chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." We have some chronology here. 6 days before the Passover would put it at the ninth day. And as we go down through here, verse 9, "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Now verse 12, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem," that is just a comma there, we haven't finished the thought, but "on the next day," that makes it the 10th day, the day in which you were to choose the lamb in order to observe the Passover. "So on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" This is just a few days before they actually crucified him, but they recognized him at this point of who he was. They treated him as a king. He rode into Jerusalem and they were crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel." Little did they know the significance of what was going on. They were actually choosing on the appropriate day the Passover lamb whose blood would now be shed for the whole world. Let's read down to verse 19 here. "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it was written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt.' These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." Yeah, when it was all taking place, they had no idea what it meant. It wasn't until Jesus was glorified, or that he was raised from the dead and ascended to his Father, that these things came back into their memory. Yeah, this is all making sense to us now. "The people thereof that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" Yeah, they were beginning to get a little bit nervous. "We need to do something about this man. The whole world is starting to acknowledge him as the king." Now, in sacrificing of the lamb in Exodus 12, the whole congregation was to bring their lambs to the temple all at the same time, and all the sacrifice would begin together. The whole congregation would kill the lamb in the evening on the 14th to prepare to eat it on the 15th evening. Let's turn from here to Mark chapter 15. And we'll start with verse 1. The reason we're starting with verse 1 is to point out that the whole multitude is coming together. "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes, and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. This doesn't say that everyone did it, but we have all the representatives of all the people, all the leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the whole council, all the chief priests, gather together and deliver Jesus to Pilate with the hopes that he would be executed. Let's go down to verse 9. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him, whom ye call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they call together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head. And it began and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bringing him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, and what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now the third hour in the Jewish clock would be about 9 in the morning. Their evening, like I mentioned, starts at 6 o'clock the prior day, like today would have been 6 o'clock yesterday. And the night or the evening goes all the way until 6 in the morning. And that's when the day begins. So the third hour of the day is 9 o'clock. That is when they crucified him, very early in the morning. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So the sixth hour would be about noon. Until about the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., darkness over the whole land. What is very interesting about the ninth hour is because on the ninth hour, at 3 p.m. on the 14th, and you were to sacrifice the lamb in the evening, that is when the sacrifices began. They would blow the shofar, the horn, trumpet, to announce the beginning. And if you had 2 million people in Jerusalem, and they come from all over the world, because they were commanded to spend their time in Jerusalem for 3 specific feasts of the year, and this was one of them, they all showed up. And if you have 2 million people there sacrificing, and you have between 10 and 20 people to a lamb, so if we took 15, Jesus had 13 approximately there for his observance, that would be about 134,000 lambs to be sacrificed. And they did this between 3 p.m. and the 11th hour. So the ninth hour to the 11th hour, that would be, you know, 5:59 p.m. until the beginning of the next day. And they had to have all that done before that day ended. So what is happening here at the ninth hour? As we continue reading verse 34, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one man ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." He breathed his last breath after the ninth hour, the time when they started sacrificing the lambs for the Passover. What's also interesting is that the priests and the people began singing songs at this time. They would sing Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. We don't have time to read all of those songs. So I took an excerpt out of the last one to see what it is they were singing. Very interesting words are there. And for some of those, we will recognize most of them. For others, there'll just be a few things we recognize. But let's turn to Psalm 118. So keep in mind that Jesus has just died and they're beginning the sacrifices. Blood is flowing all over the place. You can imagine how much blood would 134,000 lambs make. A lot of blood. And here they're singing songs. Singing to Jehovah. And we're going to start at Psalm 118 at verse 6. "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord Jehovah helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It's amazing all the things that actually pertain to Jesus. Here they crucified him, and they're singing these songs, not realizing what they are singing, not realizing what they are doing. Some of the things that we might see here is that we would recognize right away. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. If we turn real quickly to Matthew 21, We see that Jesus uses this in a parable. In verses 28, let's see, in verses 33 on down to verse 40, he gives the parable of the wicked husbandman. Let's read that quickly here. Verse 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husband saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize upon his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. We see the parallel here, that Israel didn't recognize him. He sent his son, they took him outside the city and slew him. And Jesus says, what is going to happen to those people? And he said, well, they all said, well, they're going to be destroyed and the vineyard will be given to others. And Jesus continues and says in verse 42, he says, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sights, in his eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Well, just as the disciples, they didn't know a lot of these things that were going on, the symbols and the parallels, neither did the nation of Israel. But we can see, in hindsight, how Jesus did fit all of these details about the Passover, how he was the lamb, how he was sacrificed, the time frame. But fortunately for us, this is not the end of the story. Jesus, even though he was killed, rose again to an unending life, to eternal life, and was exalted to the right hand of his Father. If you remember in Psalm 118, there were some verses there that mention the right hand of the Lord. Very interesting there. One more aspect of the Passover we want to touch on in John 19. And starting at verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out thereout blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. What is interesting about the Passover meal is that while you are eating it, while you're preparing it, not at any time are you to break a bone of it. And we read that. That was in Exodus 12:46. The analogy is true all the way across the board. Jesus is our Passover. Let's conclude our thoughts with Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll Start with verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God was going to execute judgment and wrath upon the Egyptians for not allowing his people to enter into the promised land eventually, to leave Egypt. And it was only that blood of the lamb that they put upon their doorpost that protected them, saved them from God's wrath and God's judgment. We too can be justified through Jesus' blood and protected by that blood when he returns to pronounce wrath and judgment upon this world. We started in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, we read. And Paul admonished that church. He said, purge out the leaven. That's the only way that Christ could be our Passover. We must purge out the leaven and become a new lump. We must remove all sin from our households for that blood to cover us on the day that he returns. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for allowing us this special time to gather together to study your word of truth with peace and safety and to do so unharmed. We pray that we will keep ourselves unspotted as your Son was, from sin and from those things which will keep us from his kingdom, that when he returns we might be found faithful and allowed an entrance into that special kingdom that he will establish on this earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.